हरि ओम सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै शान्तिः ॐ जय श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवासरि गौरभक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
Okay, so page 25. Sukadeva Goswami continued. Kamsa was a condemned personality in the Bhoja dynasty because he was envious and sinful. Therefore, upon hearing this omen from the sky, he caught hold of his sister's hair with his left hand and took up his sword with his right hand to sever her head from her body. Srila Prabhupada comments. Kamsa was driving the chariot and controlling the reins with his left hand. But as soon as he heard the omen that his sister's eighth child would kill him, he gave up the reins, caught hold of his sister's hair, and with his right hand took up his sword to kill her. Before, he had been so affectionate that he was acting as his sister's chariot driver. But as soon as he heard that his self-interest or his life was at risk, he forgot all affection for her and immediately became a great enemy. This is the nature of demons. No one should trust a demon despite any amount of affection. Aside from this, a king, a politician, or a woman cannot be trusted, since they can do anything abominable for their personal interests. Chanakya Pandit therefore says, Vishvaso naiva kartavyas stadishu raja kuleshu cha. So, we're having here is because of material consciousness. Then, this aspect of envy comes up. Right? So, envy is going to come up because of the, I'd say, it's connected with the violent nature. I control, right? So then, if controlling can go on pleasantly, then nice. But if it doesn't, then that control takes on a much more harsher form, right? So that's how the envy will come up. So it's not a quality that is considered proper or good. Enviousness of any living entity is not good. So that will create violence. This violence means violence to other living entities, violence to humans, violence to the demigods. You know, it means, like you see, is that people become envious, that my system of religion is actually appropriate, others are not, therefore then, whatever is the form of the other person's religious process, they'll go and, you know, break the temples, break the places, do all those kind of things. That's not what's important. So, therefore, he's affectionate because of his material attachment. It's his sister. Being a materialist, then that relationship is of value on a material platform. But as soon as then that comes up for oneself, that his position, his own position, is going to be challenged, then, you know, his love for his sister is because extended love of himself. Does that make sense? So it's not that he just loves his sisters. He loves himself. He's a materialist. And that's extended. That's the meaning of extended sense gratification. So all your general positions that people extend, it's not due to duty. Otherwise, then he would continue, he's the brother, he would continue his duties. But it stops because he's not on the platform of Dharma there. He may be performing the Dharmic activities because they're their best expression. But the real reason that he's acting in that way is extended sense gratification. So as soon as he sees that sense gratification is going to have a problem, therefore then he is going to remove that problem. And he sees the problem as his sister. Right? So therefore, that's why if the material consciousness is there, one can't trust that. like that. That's always a problem. So the demoniac mentality, the material mentality, is always something to watch out for. Does that make sense? Yeah. Sukadeva Goswami continued. Wanting to pacify Kamsa, who was so cruel and envious that he was shamelessly ready to kill his sister, the great soul Vasudeva, who was to be the father of Krishna, spoke to him in the following words. Right? Because the point is Devaki understood that this voice from the sky saying that the eighth son would kill him, right? And Vasudeva, having, you know, gotten the his mother told him about the prophecy of the Lord taking birth in their line. So then putting that all together, then he is going to be the father. She's going to be the mother, he's going to be the father. Right? So considering that, then he has to take some steps. And it's his wife, so he has to take some steps there. Right? Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur elaborates. Vasudeva, seeing before his eyes that Kamsa was ready to kill his wife, did not show anger, because he was an ocean of good qualities, such as patience, gravity, forgiveness, and cleverness. Mahabhaga. Right? So that's the whole point. Here, this is Kshatriya. Right? It's good qualities. They take care of everything with good qualities. They don't have to use bad qualities to get the same thing done. Right? But we see as with the materialists, they'll use bad qualities to attain the same things. Right? That's the whole point. So that's one. So we say, Duryodhana is a Kshatriya and all that. And but point is that we see he's using bad qualities. So it's not actually the ideal position. Yudhishthir got everything done. They went from having nothing into being established, to having a kingdom, having an empire, to having nothing, to then having a position again, and then having an empire. But he did all that through good qualities. So that's the recommendation of the Vedic system, is just using the good qualities. Because you can get everything done through that. It may take you more time, you have to use more intelligence. Like Kamsa is not doing that, he's just reacting. Right? Vasudeva has to use his intelligence, his good qualities, everything to get the same thing done. So this is the process, this is what's recommended, this is what the Varnashram system is for. It's a cultural system in which everything can be accomplished, but through the nicest possible way. Right? So this idea, but Varnashram failed. Varnashram never fails. It's an eternal principle. And we see in the Bhagavatam and that, all those who are using it is successful, both materially and spiritually. Right? It means it's not spiritual. It's used in the service of spiritual. But it's a perfect tool. So therefore, who's failing at Varnashram? Those who are unqualified. So if there's any point, we tried it, it didn't work, that just shows our lack of qualification. So that's not actually, if you're worried about prestige and all that, you wouldn't use that as an example. You try to use something else. You could say, we're so fallen and unqualified, we can't use it. Okay, maybe you have a shot with that one. But, yeah. Yeah, it's like this. And anything is if it's appropriate, like on the battlefield, Kshatriyas, why do you think they make so much comments about each other? That's just to produce the anger so there's a good fight, because it's about fighting. Therefore, there won't be a good fight if nobody's angry. You know, they just kind of go out there and... You know, I guess we have to do this, huh? You know? But because they're angry, that's why they make those comments. It's not necessarily that's how they feel, but that's what you have to do to get the move going. You know? Does that make sense? Yeah. The question may arise, how could a cruel person such as Kamsa listen to his advice? Therefore, he is described as Mahabhaga. Even tigers and snakes do not create obstacles when they meet those possessed of good qualities. Right? You have good quality, they don't bother. Like you see the sages and that, they all go to the forest, they don't bother them. Right? They stay out of their way because they have the good qualities. So because of that, that super soul arranges that they go, but also they're careful. When they walk, they look on the ground so they don't step on the snake. Right? Snakes, you step on them, they bite. But you don't step on them, they don't bite. You know, you see there's a snake there, you wait, or you go around, or you know, so you're respectful towards them. Does that make sense? So you have the good qualities, then they don't even create obstacles. Like Haridas Thakur, he's living in the cave with this monster python, but it's not a problem because he chants and he does his how you say his python stuff. Right? You know, they just don't like that. Srila Prabhupada adds, Vasudeva was a great personality because he knew how to pacify a cruel person and how to forgive even the bitterest enemy. So this forgiveness is actually then how these things go on, how the Vedic system goes on. It's actually the most important quality. Right? It's also one of the natural qualities of the soul. So if it's used, so this mercy, forgiveness, these kind of qualities, they're inherent in the soul. So if you follow those, then it works very nicely. But people tend to not follow. If they have the demoniac mentality, they tend to use the opposite qualities that get rid of these things, right? Because one can say, no, but they're good qualities, but they're connected with the soul. If you're not interested in the soul, why would you really be interested in those qualities? So therefore, then, that's why it said, the killer of the soul, right? They're not actually interested in self-realization. Vasudev said, my dear brother-in-law Kamsa, right? So he first brings up the relationship. Does that make sense? So in other words, this is not a Hollywood movie. Right? So, because it's a relationships, it's dealing very nicely and all that. Maybe British, but not a Hollywood. Right? You know? Like that. You are the pride of your family, right? So he's the king, he's like that, he's this, you know. Your family, the Bhojas dynasties and great heroes praise your qualities. Because on one platform, as a king, he does really well. As a demon, now that's another thing. Like that. And great heroes doesn't necessarily mean that they're not demons. Like that. How could such a qualified person as you kill a woman, your own sister, especially on the occasion of her marriage, right? So he's not just getting by one, he shows his the relationship, the position, how he's a great personality, because great personalities do great things. You just said, you know, don't kill my sister, what do you mean? You know, her son's going to kill me. No, but the point is we have a relationship, you're a great person, and great people do great things, they don't do low things. So therefore, qualified people wouldn't kill a woman, right? And he's not leaving it at a woman, she's your sister. And not only sister, it's on her wedding day. You know, just to want to make sure he's not, you know, leaving no stone unturned in this one, right? Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur elaborates, Vasudev used strategy of sama, or kind words, invoking relationship, personal gain, helping others, creating dissension, and glorification of qualities. Footnote 9, editor's note. In his commentary, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur refers to Sama and Beda, two of the four diplomatic principles known as Chatushtayam. Sama, the process of pacifying. Dhamma, the process of giving money and charity. Beda, the principle of dividing. And Dana, the principle of punishment. Right? So he had gone straight to Dana. What do you call it? Danda. He just went to punishment. Kamsa. But the two most powerful, the most effective, are Sama and Danda. But you always use Sama first. Right? So now he's countering his Sama with Danda. But he's also supporting the Sama with the Dana. Right? Showing his position, his glories, his, you know, all these kind of things. So that gives it a little bit more weight on that side. Because generally, Beda will be when you're going to use Danda. Right? In other words, Beta is the preliminary, the support for Danda, just as Dana is the support for Sama. Does this make sense? Which is? Sama is it was mentioned here,
pacification.
Like that. Oh, okay, we're up here. I was trying to find it on the page, and it was not there. Okay, here, Sama, are kind words, invoking relationship, personal gain. A personal gain helping others, creating. So the Dana will be the personal gain. You know? Just like, okay, you know, this whole thing is coming up like that, and how you say you're opposing our, you know, bill and like that, but you also have this other thing that you're doing, this, you know, ecological thing, so if you let ours go through, then we'll support you on your one for this, you know, understand? So you're using kind words and how things like that, but you're using dana, that they're going to get benefit. Does that make sense? Yeah.
Wouldn't that be the dana component within sama?
He's using sama as a main, but he's using dana within it. Because sama just means kind words and, you know, different things like that. In other words, basically you have two things. You have sama and danda. And so then dana will be used in support of sama. But some people, it doesn't matter. Unless there's a carrot, they're not going to like that. Yeah, so like that. So, in other words, you pleasantly present the carrot. Yeah. But you can also use an element of danda to show that it's the carrot or the stick. So take your pick. So then they'll take the carrot. So it's just a matter of what's appropriate. So because he was so expert, and that he's on, and he's already angry, so you don't want to generally use that counter that with that unless you're so much more powerful, mm-hmm. like that. But here Kamsa is a great king, he's a great warrior. The demigods are afraid of him. They don't hear that the demigods are asking Vasudeva to come fight for them. Mm-hmm. So he doesn't have that prowess in battle like Kamsa would, especially at this point. Mm-hmm. You know, it's another thing, they're on the battle and it's going to be an equal thing, but you know, he has his wife by the hair, and you know, he already has his sword out, while Vasudeva may not even have a sword. Mm-hmm. So then you have to use sama to kind of make it more pleasant, cool it down, and all that.
Yeah. It's interesting because Bhaktivinoda Thakur talks about the four reasons that people will worship God. First is fear, then is material gain, then duty, then affection. But the first two, fear is equivalent with danda, fear of punishment.
Yes,
second,
yes.
Which is material gain. Is
yes. But that's because those are the lowest. So he being a demon, he's going to be attracted by those first.
Yeah.
Because the affection, he just uses that as a point, because his point is, you have good qualities. So why would you do something that's going to bring infamy? Mm-hmm. So therefore, then pointing out the relationship's going to make it also stronger. If he's the brother-in-law, then also then this is the sister, and she's a woman, and, you know, all these different things. It's an auspicious occasion. Mm-hmm. You know, he's saying, in other words, you have a marriage. They want to fight. Do it at another time. The marriage is for, you know, all, you know, the niceness, auspicious. Come, sit down. You know, have something to eat. Enjoy yourself. You know, we'll fight later. You know, but if that's not appreciated, it's not. It's people don't take it as a good thing. Not, oh, he's a great fighter. No, he's uncultured. He doesn't have any courtesy. Is that what sense? Fear. But here he was using an aspect of no, because this is a different group. He was showing it just of the lower group. That so you have four reasons to surrender to the Lord. Now in this Bhaktivinoda Thakur he's giving Artha and Artarthi as one group. In other words, they have material desire. It may be for material wealth, it may be for, to, you know, relieve a distressing situation. But the point is it's just material. The jigyasu, he's interested in knowledge, like that. Then the person, the jnani and that, that's Artha, Artarthi, jigyasu, it's all material, like that. So they want knowledge, they want material benefit, or they want emotional benefit, like that. Then you have the jnani, he wants to know the Lord, right? Because the jigyasu is just knowledge, it's interesting. Like, you know, sometimes we get questions, you know, why are you asking that? Oh, it's interesting. It has no value, you know, on the spiritual platform, but it's interesting. That's jigyasu. So it's not actually, jnani means they want to know about the relationship with the Lord and this and that. But it's a matter of knowledge, position, and like that. Then the fourth one is someone on the platform of rag, a spontaneous attachment. So since that, it either happens or it doesn't, you don't have to talk about it. Because if it doesn't, there's no point in talking about it. That won't make it happen. And if it did happen, there's no need to talk about it because it already happened. So the scriptures only talk about vaiti, which is how you can engage those tendencies for artha, artharthi, jyasu, and jnani in the Lord's service to purify the heart, to bring you to the platform of, you know, actual spontaneous devotional service. So that's why the scriptures talk very minimal about rag and talk about vaiti as the process. Does that make sense? No, no, we're not talking about it here. What he's mentioning is that it's interesting, he was saying, pointing out it's interesting that Sama and Dana, he's using that as that, to give that material benefit. He's like that, so we would take it that material benefit would be the lowest, then knowledge about the Lord would be higher, and then higher than that would be the, you know, devotional, that spontaneous aspect. Does that make sense? Good? Okay, good. Because it's not so much that it's about knowledge about the, you know, knowledge or of interest that he's there. He's pointing, he's using position, but it's being used in point of giving him material benefit. But recognizing his position. It's his duty. He's a husband. He has to take care of his wife. He can't just go, well, you know, it's all up to Krishna. You know, and then the music comes up, you know, that kind of whistling music, light whistling music, as the, you know, Haise goes over to his convertible with the top down, and without opening the door, just kind of puts his hand on the side and jumps over, lands in the seat, and then drives off. And like that. We're not talking about one of those. You know, that. We're talking about duty. So he has to do. Does that make sense? So, because the point is, it's going to come through something. Does that make sense? So the pious activities, these are the recommended activities, because this is what Krishna likes to do. This is how Krishna likes to interact. So the pious duties are the medium to use. Does that make sense? Plus, here's a devotee, you're protecting the devotees. Like that. And then you have the relationship as husband and wife, so, you know, so from so many aspects.
In a conflict situation, who's his duty? He is the right, means to defend the Lord.
Yes, that's why he says he's expert. Mahabhaga means he's expert and he has influence. Because he has good qualities, he'll have influence. If you only have negative qualities, then generally you don't have much influence unless you use like brute force or something. Like that. You know, so in other words, it was not because of the religious nature of being there, I think, for your sister's baptism of her child, that therefore the individual gained authority over the five families. But it was because his people were there at the same time shooting everybody. That make sense? Yes. You understand? So it wasn't because he had such great qualities that everybody just surrendered. So because you're working in a sinful environment, then they use sinful activities to maintain it. But if you're working in a cultured environment of piety, you can use piety to maintain it. That's the Vedic culture. That makes sense? Would you finish this? No, he didn't. Oh, yes. No, he didn't. Oh, these were discussed in our study of the seventh canto. Okay. Yeah, under the kings and everything. Okay, so back here. Bhoja yashas karaha invokes family relationship. How can you kill indicates gain and helping others. Mentioning Bhagini, his sister, invokes fear and doubt, is the use of dissensions or beta. And Shlaghaniya Guna, one of praiseworthy qualities, glorifies his qualities. Though she bears your killer, not killing her because she is a woman will bring a gain of fame. Saving her life is helping others. Right? So he's showing through these. So just so expert in how fine is his understanding, and that at the moment he can do this. Right? Because it's one thing to be able to define for others what you should do. Right? It's very generally quite clear exactly what they should do. But when you're in the situation, it's less clear. Right? And so lots of thinking, analyzing, then you kind of comes out. But here he's able to do it immediately. So that shows how qualified he is, how much good qualities he has to be able to apply them immediately. Like that. She is a defenseless woman, your sister, and it will happen during her wedding. And you are a famous person. Killing her now will bring infamy in this life and hell in the next life. Thus Vasudeva indicates two types of beta. Problems in this life and next. Right? So he did use the beta here, and that it will create a problem for him. Yes.
Similar to the first chapter of Gita, when Krishna is discussing with Arjuna, he's saying that by not performing the duties in the second chapter, of course.
Yes.
But there'll be a result, there'll be offhand varna sankara. It's not fitting your status as a kshatriya.
Yes.
There's so many. But he's using all these components, I think, you can find.
Yes. Because it's standard.
Yeah.
If you understand these, because we read them and go, oh, yeah. And then we go on and then, look up some karmi guy who's supposedly good at all this. But what's here, it's the best. It means it's so good, you don't even see what it is. Because the other one, you can see, okay, this is that flavor. But then the problem is the other person also understands it's that flavor.
Mm-hmm.
And he's read the same book. But here it's so subtle that means if they read the book, it's still there, but it's subtle, but it has that pleasant, has the cultural aspect. Because the other one doesn't have culture. It's known that it's only for gain. It doesn't have that cultural aspect. But the point is when you're dealing in diplomacy, which is the level of the kshatriyas, then that's supposed to include culture. Because business, you can do business and not have any culture. Right? As long as you're clever enough. But when you want to use the culture and maintain the culture, then you have to get the same thing, but in another way. So we would say governments are more effective than business.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So that's the point. So we could say but now business controls governments, but that's just because of the lack of qualities in the government.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, you see, whenever there's very powerful individuals who have the qualities, then they control the government.
Mm-hmm.
They're able to put things in a proper order.
Mm-hmm.
Is that?
Yeah. So the good quality of cleverness comes into the
game. Yes, because cleverness is one of the points. Yeah. And cleverness is important because when you're dealing with energy, because energy is four times more clever, so being clever is an advantage.
Mm-hmm.
Then at least you can, how you say, paddle it, what do you call it? Paddling water or whatever it is, you can just stay in one place.
Tread
water, yes, you can tread water.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the other person's on the boat, but hey, at least you got your head out of the water. You can talk, right? Maybe they'll let you on the boat. Their boat. Yeah. You had something, or? No? Yeah. Oh, you had. A little more loudly. You have competition. Yes.
So Vasudev is perfectly situated. Therefore, we see his consciousness and how he's reacting to the situation. And we see on the other side, how he's not perfectly situated, so how he's reacting to the world. And that's why he's there. And also, the other aspect of Vasudev is preaching according to circumstances. He's not preaching according to this game.
Yes. Yeah, but it's from his position, what he can do, but according to the circumstance and who he's working with. So yes, so that's the balance, is you put all that together. So that's, yes, very good. Okay. Vasudeva continued, "O great hero, one who takes birth is sure to die, for death is born with the body. One may die today or after hundreds of years, but death is sure for every living entity." Footnote 10. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur assigns this verse to Bhagavad Arkamrishi Mala, chapter 15, entitled Analysis of Favorable Conditions for Bhakti, Bhakti Anukulya Vichar, which is in the Abhideya section of the Thakur's book. The knowledge presented in this, in the verses is favorable. So it's just this verse, or? Okay. Yes, because in other words, it's favorable to understand that when you're born, then death is born along with you. So in other words, when one's going to die is already born when you were born. So it's just a matter of, you know, whose turn is it, like that. You know, so it's just time. So that time, then that take. So if one understands that, then one doesn't take as seriously the material life. Therefore, one can take more seriously the spiritual. Therefore, it's favorable to devotional service. Mm-hmm. Okay. Does that make sense? Because if you're analyzing devotional service, then you have to be able to appreciate devotional service is eternal, material life is temporary. Therefore, one will always favor the eternal over the temporary. Okay, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur continues. After saying this with no change of heart in Kamsa, right? Because he has to judge by the... what's the term? Not attitude. Starts with an A. The term for it, meaning what's the physical, you know, all the different symptoms. Attributes, yeah, the attributes. So he's saying that there's no change in attribute of Kamsa. Right? Therefore, then he has to keep going. Because that's the whole thing. When you're preaching, when you're dealing in anything, where you're dealing on these kind of touchy points, you have to see the attribute. How is it adjusting? If it is, then you adjust with it. If it's not, then you continue, you try a different angle, or a different thing, or different... Does that make sense? That's how it works. So when we say hard preaching means they're not judging the attribute. Soft preaching means there is no attribute. So there's, you know, it's like either the way. Both of them are not preaching. Right? Preaching means you knowing yourself, knowing the philosophy, know the other person, knowing the situation, you start discussing Vedanta philosophy. According to what examples and what different things working, you continue. What doesn't work, you adjust. And this is word by word. Right? Until you find that there's a particular path that's comfortable, then you can speak more freely. But until that, it's word by word. And each word, you're judging the attribute. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
That's what preaching is. So that's what we mean. So this soft, hard, they don't even come into the picture. It's a matter of, are you seeing the attribute? Because neither of these are seeing the attribute. One is worried about the attribute, but not doing anything to change it. The other doesn't notice the attribute. So neither of them are actually preaching. Yes. One's attached to form, one's without... Yes. One can say they're attached to the secondary aspects of devotional service. The other one is not attached to the secondary aspects. But both of them miss the essence that it's about Krishna. Yes, yes. Okay, so then after saying this with no change of heart in Kamsa, Vasudeva tried to advise him using logic. O king... Right, so he's taking a different angle. He took the Dharma aspect and what's the gain and loss and everything. That didn't work. Now he's using logic. O king, if you're about to commit murder because of fear of death, listen to me. Death is unavoidable. With this intention, he then speaks this verse. Factually, there is no birth or death for the soul. Only those who take birth, janma vatam, by accepting material body, have death. Right, so the soul doesn't die, but because he identifies with the body, there's death. So that's what he worries about. But that's going to happen anyway. Right? So even if he kills anything and everything, death will come anyway. It's like the one king who tried to save his son. He said his son would be killed by a wild boar. So he built this special fortress like that, you know, so that the son, and the son was kept inside, so there's no animals could get in and this and that. And so everything's going along, and so then he was supposed to die at a particular time. And so then they increased the guards, increased everything outside, no boars are around for miles, right? You know, they've been, banished off to Gaul, right? There's just none of them left, right? So then he's going on, I think one of the aspects of the family crest is the wild boar, right? Because the boar is so, you know, they're very ferocious. For their size, you could probably say they're one of the most dangerous animals, right? Other than probably a shrew, but we're not going to get into that one, right? So then, you know, one of the things they would have is shields that had the, you know, heads of boars and stuff, plus the horns and that, you can use it to move weapons. You know, it has a lot of advantages. So then when the scheduled time came for the child's death and they're all there and there's no boars and everybody's happy, then this shield, one of their battle shields that has the head of a boar on it, fell off and killed the child. So the point is when it doesn't matter what you do, it's going to happen. Yes. That makes sense? Yeah. So therefore, he's using now logic. You're going to die anyway, so why are you worried about it so much? Yes.
Is there any implication for preaching? We're talking about soft and hard. But we see that he opens up his attempt to convince Kamsa through the emotional level about attachments.
Yes.
And then he moves on to the rational or analytical or spiritual transcendental level about the soul.
You could, but we're saying here is what I was meaning there is you see what technique works because he's trained in this. Mm-hmm. So therefore, it's just another body of knowledge he works. Like you'll see Kamsa using the same thing at other points. He discusses these things like that. And then we see Hiranyakashipu about Hiranyaksha for the family, uses direct Vedanta philosophy. So it's not that they don't know it, but they don't use Vedanta for gaining spiritual knowledge. They use Vedanta for not being disturbed by material reversals so that they can be effective in their material pursuits. So that's the thing, is it's a body of knowledge. So then you could say, in one sense, you could use these things very comfortably, all these different shastras, because as a king, and especially as an emperor, he's been trained in all these. Mm-hmm. So you would be using what areas you as far as your understanding, that the person knows or has interest in. Mm-hmm. So as you're going, you see what points respond and then go with that. Mm-hmm. But that was the point being made. Now going on to this further point is that, yes, you would start with something that is going to be something that's going to catch them more and they'll identify with. Then you can move on to something that's more directly mm-hmm. spiritual. Like we see with that example of Prabhupada and the race driver. They first talk cars. Mm-hmm. And not even race cars, just classic cars. You know, he was a British race driver. And then you had British India, so they, you know, a classic British car that everyone could appreciate that's a good car. And so they discussed that. Then they got onto, you know, more specific to him, and then got into the... So yes, that would be the technique. So, you know, I was just saying the first one, why I mentioned that, is one could say, oh, but they're not trained in this, so you can't use it. Mm-hmm. But the point is to use what areas they are trained in. So in other words, you would split your example... In that, one is that he's trained in the Dharma Shastra, he's also trained in logic. Mm-hmm. So these would be just different avenues. Mm-hmm. But at the same time as in the approach, you would generally start with Dharma and then use the higher platforms of Gyan and like that. Mm-hmm. Is that?
Yeah.
Yes. Yes.
Also that he's not getting in the way, he's not putting himself in the way of discussing.
Yes, that's the whole point. If you're not part of the discussion, then that's what people will appreciate. Because then it's from a neutral standpoint. Then it's about you. Because in here, it's about Kamsa. So that's the whole thing. When you're preaching, it's about the people who are there and then connecting them to Krishna. It's not about what, you know, your position and all that. Does that make sense? Yeah. Vasudev continued, when the present body turns to dust and is again reduced to five elements, earth, water, fire, air, and ether, the proprietor of the body, the living being, automatically receives another body of material elements according to his fruit of activities. When the next body is obtained, he gives up the present body. Right? So it's already worked out what the next body is. And when that's there, then that just that shift is made. So it's not that it's there and you don't know what it's going to be. It's just that it's already worked out. That's why Prabhupada says sometimes people are in a coma and it takes a while before because they're still trying to work out what is, it's very complicated, their situation. So they're working out. Not that they're in a coma and they come back awake. Not that they, when they're 10, they go into a coma and wake up at 40. No, we're talking about they go into a coma and then die. So it's just a matter of they would have died, but this a little bit longer to work out details. Like that. Because it's not something, some physical thing, then the soul is forced to leave. Though it's because the soul, its time is up, it's forced to leave, therefore there's symptoms in the body. Like we'll say, cause of death was this. No, the soul left, and this is the... Because otherwise, you say, this is the cause of death. Cause of death, heart attack. But there are plenty of people who have heart attacks that don't die. You know what I'm saying? So that's the whole thing, is that anything you say the person died from, there are people that the same thing happened, they didn't die. So it's just the soul left, that's why they died. If the soul didn't leave, they'd be still alive.
Yes. So there's no such thing as
untimely death. Untimely means it's not the natural progression, you know, like that, that one would expect. Like that, to live to a ripe old age, like that. That would be the natural thing. So it happened before that. So we would say that's untimely. But technically that's all they were supposed to live anyway. Does that make sense? So you don't want to do. So if he performs a sinful activity based on his first thing, that's his first point he meant. It's going to affect your life now. When your prestige will be there, it'll affect your life in that it'll shorten it. And it will affect your future life because then the act of sin problems in this life and the next. Right? So, right now he'll get the social reactions. The religious reactions or dharmic reactions will shorten his life, and next life he won't get as nice a situation. So he's pointing out that all these things are going to affect. So, Srila Prabhupada comments. One who commits sinful activities because of ignorance, tamaguna, obtains a lower body. Karanam guno sango sya sad asat yoni janmishu. Bhagavad Gita 13:22. There are hundreds and thousands of different species of life. Why are there higher and lower bodies? One receives these bodies according to the combinations of material nature. If in this life one is contaminated by the mode of ignorance and sinful activity, duskriti, in the next life by the laws of nature one will certainly get a body full of suffering. The laws of nature are not subservient to the whimsical desires of the conditioned soul. Right? So it's not that what we say and what we desire that we're going to change that. It's that a particular activity by law will get you a particular result. So pious things get you a pious. Does that make sense? So even within, you have, if it's in the animal species or below, then that means it's sinful. But within that, there may be some good qualities, so therefore you see some species of life are nicer than others. And so there'll be a pious aspect to them. But still, the major point is impiety, otherwise why are they the animal? Does that make sense? And then same in the human form. So then there's going to be those with the higher, you know, better qualities, less difficulties, and those with more suffering and less, you know, how you say, more difficulties, less good qualities. So, Our endeavor, therefore, should be to associate always with sattva guna and not indulge in rajagun or tamagun. Rajastamo bhava. Srimad Bhagavatam 1.2.19. Lest the desires and greed keep the living entity perpetually in ignorance and prevent him from being elevated to the platform sattva guna or shuddha sattva guna. Right? Because lust, what's the problem? Envy means there's a problem in existence. Right? And then lust means there's a problem in your goal. So as long as there's envy, then you're not going to be able to understand your relationship with Krishna. Right? And if there's lust, then you're not going to understand that things are to please Krishna. Right? Because envy is about myself, and lust is about myself. Right? And you can extend that as long as it works for yourself. And as soon as it doesn't work for yourself, then that's where these positions are given up. Right? So that's why then one counteracts that with proper understanding. So envy is given up by seeing Krishna as the controller and enjoyer. That lust is given up by seeing him in that position. Right? He's the friend. Right? So he's the controller, he's the enjoyer, he's the friend. Then we can give up these positions that create these problems. Right? Because if it's envy, that will then turn into all this hatred. We'll want to enjoy, that'll turn into hatred, that'll turn into all these violence, all these different qualities come up. Cruelty. Does that make sense? They all come up. All the impiety comes up because we're trying to enjoy separately the material benefits. But as soon as we give that up and take up the spiritual, then the good qualities come up. You can accomplish everything with those. Because remember, the negative qualities are simply a lack of the good qualities. Like that? Having no mercy means there's no forgiveness. That's all. It's just one's the lack of the other. So if you're saying, no, but I have to do this to get it done. But the point is this, then if you're using the negative quality, why wouldn't the positive work even better? Does that make sense? That's the whole point. You have to understand the process. Yes? Yes. Yes. We failed to see the importance of the qualities. Means we didn't fail to see the importance of devotional service. And so if one would continue with that determination, then by the process of devotional service, those good qualities will naturally manifest. Then you'll be able to use these sophisticated Vedic systems in devotional service. But if we think that the problem is that we've tried all this, and this is recommended by devotional service, because we can't tell the difference between what's devotional and what's material. So therefore, then, if there's a failure in this, then it's because it's not of use, because we're so fabulous. So therefore, then we can't use this devotional approach. We have to use something that's much more in line with the modern way of thinking, which means atheism. And then using their temporary methods of what is values. Does that make sense? So, the solution, we think it's... But that won't give any solution, because the other one, it's rough in its course, but because it's focused on devotional service, one keeps that sincerity, then that purification will come there, the good qualities will develop. But it'll be a rough ride until the qualities develop. But if you give up the pursuance of pure devotional service in pursuance of good social standing, then you don't... Then you're based on your own material qualities. And do you actually have that kind of character? Because there is no method to actually cultivate it on the material platform. Because ultimately, unless you're going to get benefit from it, you don't do it. You know what I'm saying? So that's the whole thing. So it is actually not a good method. Now, if by going in that direction, then one conceives that the value of the Vedic culture, and therefore combining that proper practice of Krishna consciousness with the proper practice of the culture, then you take that up, then it has some value. But generally speaking, the one has to remove the Vedic value system to take up the modern, because they're opposed. One's theistic, one's atheistic. They're diametrically opposed. One's about controlling the senses, one's about letting them go. One's about having real knowledge, one's about false knowledge. Simply mechanistic knowledge. So they're not actually compatible. So that's the point of the Vedic system, is that even though it's mundane, it's compatible with devotional service, because you just add devotional service, it works. Does that make sense? So that's the whole point. It's just like, let's say I have a machine. I plug it in, I just add current, it becomes valuable. But if I don't plug it in, even though it's a fabulous machine, it's absolutely useless. So what to speak of no machine, no electricity? What's that going to get you? Absolutely nothing. So...
Envy
is?
Is an existence, apart from existence.
Yes.
And lust is an
illusion. Yes.
So
would Abhideya be? Abhideya is what you do with it. See, in other words, if your identity is I'm the controller, and my goal is I'm the enjoyer, what's going to be your activity? Material. If I'm servant of Krishna, the goal is to please Krishna, what's going to be the activity? You understand? So you don't have to define the activity, you define the two sides. Because to get a goal, you have to work with something. So what are you working with? It means the result will come by the work. But what result and who you are, that's your main things that you have to understand. Then the process will come after that. And nowadays people make all the big plans, but they don't actually understand who they are or what the real goal is. So the plans don't work. Lusty desires and greed keep the living entity perpetually in ignorance and prevent him from being elevated to the platform of Sattva Guna or Shuddha Sattva Guna, right? Because Shuddha Sattva Guna simply means Sattva Guna being done for Krishna. Shuddha Sattva doesn't mean passion and ignorance being done for Krishna. Because passion means it's being done for yourself. Ignorance means it's not done for anybody. You don't even know who the self is. Right? Yeah. One is advised to be situated in Shuddha Sattva Guna, devotional service. For thus one is immune to the reactions of the three modes of material nature. Because the modes, they produce reactions, but Shuddha Sattva doesn't produce any reaction. The only reaction it produces is further devotional service. So that's a value. That's position. So Vasudev continued. Just as a person traveling on the road rests one foot on the ground and then lifts the other, or as a worm on a vegetable transfers itself to one leaf and then gives up the previous one, the conditioned soul takes shelter of another body and then gives up the one he had before. And so it's just when one is situated on the next, then the last one's given up. It's not just giving it up. Right? This idea, just throw yourself in. No, you know what it is. Devotional service, it's not a matter of non-knowledge. Right? And a person can say, no, just throw yourself in, because the person who's saying that knows what's going to be the result, whether you do or not. But there's knowledge there. But if one just does things without knowing, then one gets results that one doesn't know about. One learns about them soon enough at the time. Also, understand, it's interesting, vegetable. Vegetable just means plants. Like that. Because generally we take vegetable that, if it's in a little polystyrene thing with cello wrap on the top, that's a vegetable. But actually, it's anything with plants. That's why you see, is around the world you go, they have a wider understanding of what vegetables are. Right. Having experienced a situation by seeing or hearing about it, one contemplates and speculates about that situation, and thus one surrenders to it, not considering his present body. Similarly, by mental adjustments, one dreams at night of living under different circumstances in different bodies and forgets his actual position. Under this same process, one gives up his present body and accepts another. Tata dehantara praptihi. Right, so what you're doing now, you see the situation now, you contemplate it, and then you surrender. That means you contemplate it, so you understand it, you see the connection, then you surrender. You give up the position you're in. So in the same way, it's like that for the next life. Right? The same what we say is it's like that for the devotee. You know it's Krishna, then that's why you'll go to Krishna. You remember Krishna, you go to Krishna. You remember your, you know, great Aunt Tessie, then, you know, God only knows where you end up. But whether you'll get her money, that's another thing. But, so I wouldn't count on that one. Srila Prabhupada comments. Transmigration of the soul is very clearly explained in this verse. One sometimes forgets his present body and thinks of his childhood body, a body of the past, and of how one was playing, jumping, talking, and so on. When the material body is no longer workable, it becomes dust. For dust thou art, and unto dust thou shalt return. But when the body again fixes with the five material elements, earth, water, fire, air, and ether, the mind continues to work. The mind is the subtle substance in which the body is created. So, right, so the body comes from the subtle. It's not the other way around. So because of your consciousness, and because of that aspect of dharma, which is basically, you know, what you've done with that consciousness, that's what's going to produce the next body. Right? So it's the subtle is going to take you through to the next body. It's not the gross. That's why he's pointing out, don't do something stupid. Because then it's going to affect your next life. The mind is the subtle substance in which the body is created, and we actually experience in our dreams and also when we are awake in contemplation. So you can think of all things. You can go to the past, what you did there, what you want to do in the future, all these different things. You can do all that. So that's the point. It's the subtle body that carries things through, not the gross body. One must understand that the process of mental speculation develops a new type of body that does not actually exist. Right? So you're already developing that. It doesn't even exist yet, but you're already developing your next body. So when that's properly developed and the time for leaving your body has come, then you're transferred. If one can understand the nature of the mind, manora tena, and its thinking, feeling, and willing, one can very easily understand how, from the mind, different types of bodies develop. The Krishna consciousness movement, therefore, offers a process of transcendental activities when the mind is fully absorbed in affairs pertaining to Krishna, right? See, this is the, like before, we'll say that's technical, but then you're going to hear, this is how we apply it. The presence of the soul is perceived by consciousness, and one must purify his consciousness from material to spiritual, or in other words, to Krishna consciousness. That which is spiritual is eternal, and that which is material is temporary. Without Krishna consciousness, one's consciousness is always absorbed in temporary things. So, we're using these process of mental speculation, but because you're connecting it to Krishna, it's called devotional service. But if one doesn't use it, that's how the karmis are doing. They're always contemplating what would be better. Right? If I could do this or that, or get this or that, or put myself in this situation or that, we think we'll improve. That's all we do is mental speculation. And then when we identify something, then we endeavor for that. So we're in a situation, we endeavor for the new situation once we've contemplated. Right? So if you contemplate Krishna, then you change from the material consciousness to the spiritual, then that changes you from the material sphere to the spiritual sphere. So that's the real use of this process. So we're giving these examples so we catch it on the level we're at, but the real point is to bring it to the devotional. Om Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai Śrīla Prabhupāda ki, Samaveta Bhaktivinoda ki, Jai Nitai Gaura Devanam.